I've had many heroes over the years, people I've looked up to as models, models that I want to emulate in my life. When I was young, I was very excited about Bart Starr, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Bart Starr was pretty impressive. I remember he was in the first Super Bowl, and he played a pretty tremendous game as a kid. I just thought that was really good. As a number of years went by, I noticed Billy Graham. Billy Graham was a model to consider, just what he did with his life, how he touched so many people. As I matured and grew up more, I started considering people who were in my life that were good examples of Christian folks who were close to me. I think of my the pastor I had in my teens, Wally Carlson from Kent Covenant. He founded the church. I was very close with his family, and he was an okay speaker. He wasn't the greatest, but he had a heart for his people, and he was a great example of loving God and serving him faithfully. I appreciate that, looking back in my life and thinking about it. And of course, on a real personal level, my parents raised me in a Christian home. They taught me through their words and their action, not that they were perfect by any means, but they spoke into my life of the importance of Jesus Christ. They modeled that for me. So when I was 9 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. To be honest with you, I didn't quite know everything that meant. I just know I needed him in my life. Very thankful for that. Over the years, there's also been numerous friends, coworkers, people that I knew well that gave me practical, godly advice. There were people I could look at that through everything, through extremely tough times, they would keep their focus on Jesus Christ. Those people would show me godly values, and they would show me how to live life in practical ways. And many people think the Apostle Paul is a wonderful model. Well, Paul certainly wasn't perfect, if you've studied him at all. But one thing for sure, he was one of the most effective Christians, at least for the new church we know of. He had a type A personality. You can tell that by his writing. And I am guessing he was larger than life when he was in your presence. I'm just guessing that's the way it was. We don't know for sure. But he is definitely someone we could consider as we study, as we look how we can learn about Jesus Christ. And we see a lot about Paul. This, just yesterday, first half of the day, I had mentioned a couple weeks ago I had a younger childhood friend that we had kept in touch with our whole lives, just passed away, or I just found out he had died. And the family is having a celebration of his life at the end of this month, and they asked me to write something. And so I sat down and it's a pretty somber moment as you're thinking of your close friends and you're writing words that you want to say. They, after I wrote it and sent it off, they said, "Could you send us a video of just you reading it?" And so that's what I was doing yesterday morning. And it made me think about how I was thinking about a lot of the family don't know me. I mean, I grew up with Bob. Now he had a whole bunch of nephews and kids himself, and it's a big family. How much they would learn of me just by what I had said. Well, and so it is with Paul. As we read his words, as he interfaced with Jesus Christ, and what that meant to him, we get to discover a little bit of this person of Paul. Originally, Paul was called Saul in his early years before he had met Jesus Christ, and he was a model, an example of a zealot, Jewish, strictly obedient, rigid Jewish person, I would say. He legalistically pursued the law in every detail and would judge people that came up short. The reality was he would not be able to keep it perfect himself. And inside his heart, he had to know that, as good as he was. In Acts 9, Saul was confronted with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He was actually going to persecute Christians, and Jesus Christ stopped him and said, "Why are you hurting me? Why are you pursuing these people?" And Paul Saul was temporarily blinded in that process. And through that process, he became aware of really who Jesus Christ was. Through that process and his temporary blindness, he became aware of the truth of Jesus Christ. You could say scales were taken off of him. And for the first time, he saw the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Now understand, this guy had a good portion of those scriptures memorized. He would have had all of that in his head, and he was able to connect those dots, and it all came down at once on him. Could you imagine it coming to fruition that way? He was literally transformed by the Holy Spirit, and his life was changed forever. Saul would shortly become Paul, and also would be a great example of someone who loved Jesus Christ, of someone who was completely sold out for God in a way that he'd never been before. Paul was a person who probably more than most people could see scriptures as clear as day as he came to understand them, as he lived into them. A personal immediate benefit of Paul and his conversion was his own transformation from darkness to light, from blindness to sight. Didn't mean to make it rhyme, but I know it does. He gained a totally new perspective and purpose on his life. It really redirected his course. God got Paul's full attention, and he sent him on a mission to something that affects us. He sent him on a mission to tell the Gentiles, to tell the rest of the world, this is just not a Jewish gig. This is just not a Jewish thing. This is for everyone. And we're going to be talking a lot in Romans about this role the Jews played in the role the Gentiles play. It's a big deal. Paul is definitely a good model for us. He's a man of God. And maybe more important, he's a man of God's heart, as we'll see. We continue in our series today in Romans as Paul continues an unusually lengthy introduction, because as he writes to the church in Rome, they really don't know him. They don't have context for him personally. And so he's going to some extra effort to let them know. He's older. He's been doing this mission to the Gentiles that God sent him on, to preach and teach the gospel for almost 25 years. He's on his third missionary journey in writing from the city of Corinth, which will become real evident next week as he gets into a subject matter. We've had kind of a light, lofty walk into Romans so far, and we will somewhat a little bit today. But next week is pretty intense. It's actually really intense. I can't tell you the volumes I'm reading right now in relation to that sermon, but I can say it hits us in where we are at as a society today, right now. It's pretty amazing that way. So Paul wants to share his heart as he strives to reflect God's heart and the care that God has for the people in Rome, those Christians, but also for you and I today. With that as a context, as a backdrop, I've broken down our passage. The passage is Romans 1, 8 through 17. If you want to have it in your Bibles, you certainly can. I've broken it into five categories to show Paul's heart as he looks to reflect God's heart. And I've used the word cares, C-A-R-E-S. We're going to talk about that. The first one is a heart of concern. Starts with C, so it makes sense. And I'll read Romans 1, 8 through 9 from the New Living Translation. Let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. God knows how often I pray for you day and night. I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart and by spreading the good news about his Son. Paul shows his concern as he shares how thankful he is for them, how often he prays for them day and night. What Paul's really saying is he talks to God really often, on a regular basis, you could say. It's like us in the mix of our days, be it at school, at work, at home, at leisure, whatever. we should strive to keep God in our mind. It doesn't mean you're on your knees praying every second of every minute. Some people actually think that. It means you keep your relationship with Him just in your mind all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it was always troubling to me until I figured it out, tells us to never stop praying. Or, let's just say, never stop talking to God. Always be aware that He's right there with you, because He is right there with you. Recognize that God Himself wants us with Him every day, every moment of our day. He wants us to share our heart, and He wants us to share our needs, not just the big ones, but even the little ones. I remember a friend I had many years ago with cancer, and it was the second time with cancer. Second time, and it came back hard and fast. He's a good friend. He's a close friend. And I felt the burden of my friend losing his life. He was in his late 30s. I didn't want him to die. And I can remember praying so hard and pleading with God to not let my friend die. And I know I wasn't the only one. He had many friends praying like I did. That was 20 years ago. My friend Brian is fully recovered to this day. Almost a miracle in my mind. It was a very, very serious time of cancer. God was gracious. He was concerned. And like the example Paul gives us, we should never stop praying and talking to God. You could say it's what He created us for. He wants an ongoing, ongrowing discussion with Him. He wants us walking with Him just as He did with Adam and Eve in the garden, because God cares. The second letter is a heart for affection and nurture. We see Paul's true heart with these Christians in Rome. You can feel His love and affection for them as He longs to be with them. When you love somebody, you want to be with them. It surely isn't about Him coming to check out the capital city of Rome. It's about helping them become stronger. Stronger in their daily walk with God. It's really what Paul's about. He wants to help them learn. He wants to help them grow. He wants to nurture them. Verses 10 through 11 of Romans 1 reads, "One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you, for I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord." It's almost like Paul is saying, I'm kind of your parent. And as a parent, he feels the responsibility to see those in his charge, and God did charge him with the good news to the Gentiles, to see them grow up as mature and growing Christians. It's in a spiritual sense. Paul wants this young church in Rome to know that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, how to be strong in Him, how to grow in Him, and how to, if I can use the expression, self-feed as you learn about God. Because God cares. The third letter is R, a heart of real encouragement. It's probably my favorite part of this passage. I have a passion for people to feel encouraged, to feel lifted up, to feel strengthened. But Paul sees this more than just him encouraging them. He also sees it as a two-way street, a chance for them to encourage him. They've learned a lot of lessons. They've discovered a relationship with Jesus Christ Himself, and they have much to share. You see, that's how a healthy church is. It functions and looks to fellowship with each other. It shares burdens with each other, the good times and the hard times. Of course, it isn't just about two-way encouragement. If you look at that verse, it's also about sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with others. A healthy church looks just to naturally share the good news with people they know. The good news about Jesus Christ. Paul wants to help this young, vibrant church stay vibrant, to develop spiritual fruit, to develop through investment into others a growth in Jesus Christ, and help them understand what that means, how critical that is for themselves. He wants them to look beyond themselves and into the hearts of those they love and care about, to have a willingness and a confidence to share that hope that they have in Christ. Because God really cares. The next letter, eternal perspective and obedience. God has a heart for eternal perspective. Verses 14 through 16 of Romans 1. For I have a great sense of obligation to the people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and the uneducated alike. So I'm eager to come to you in Rome too, to preach the good news, for I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is a power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jews first and also the Gentile. How do we develop an eternal perspective? Paul was hugely motivated to share that good news, not just to the Jews, but almost on a mission to let the Gentiles know it is just as much for you. Not just the civilized or the educated, or those who aren't. Not just white or black, rich or poor, local or foreign, but everyone. That was Paul's message. Paul was motivated because of the simple truth of the gospel. As I was preparing this sermon in my studies this last week, I appreciated the remarks of one pastor who spoke in regards to the racial tension we've heard often and seen in the news. He made a statement, "You cannot be a racist and be a Christian." It's true. God wants us, commands us to tell everybody. There's no difference of people. It goes without saying, but maybe it's good to say, there's absolutely no room for any kind of racist attitude or discrimination, no matter the skin color, no matter the economic background, the education, the ethnic background, and even, and this is tough for some of us, even their sin background. When it comes to sharing the truth of Jesus Christ, we've all sinned. We all come up short, as I know you well know. We come up short before a holy God. Everyone needs to know about Jesus Christ. Paul modeled it consistently in his life. You know, Paul's earlier life was not a good life. He was very mean. He did brutal things before he met Jesus Christ. I'm sure that load really took time to process through some of the things he'd done. Verse 16 makes quite a statement that could be taken a number of ways. I'm not ashamed of the good news. Another translation says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the very power of God at work in the lives of his followers. A desperate world needs desperate help. It needs a saving grace and salvation that can only be found through Jesus Christ. The gospel is the very power of the Creator of the universe, touching the hearts and lives, meeting people at their greatest need, their forever need, their eternal need. For us here on earth, there is no greater message that we can pass on and communicate to others, because God cares. The last letter, S, a heart of solid faithfulness. Romans 1:17. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. You know, in our physical life, we have to practice faith in a number of things. You're all sitting on pews right now, except for Steve, who's on a stool. But even he has to have faith that, as we all do that, what we're sitting on is going to stay there. If you go down to the kitchen downstairs and turn on the faucet, you have faith water is going to come out. Or if you turn a light switch on, you have faith that electricity will flow and the light will come on. But Paul's referring here to spiritual faith. Actually, more important faith. Faith not to be taken for granted. He's referring to the believing and accepting of God's word as truth. Paul is saying that the day you accept Christ as your Savior is the beginning of a new life in Jesus Christ and what he's done. Every day is really a joyful walk. It's a faith that is not a mystery. It's not mysticism. It's a real faith. It is the very foundation of God's plan for all human beings. For all who believe and accept him as Lord, it is faith through Jesus Christ. That we can have righteousness and stand before God. We are a sinful people, and to stand before God would be impossible except for the blood of Jesus Christ covering our sins. Most folks don't think about their eternal future. They just don't. What will happen at the end of their days on this earth? They do as they've seen others do, as they've seen others model for them. They look to live, maybe have a good time, and survive. Paul makes a strong point in the good news is more than just surviving. It's about being born again in Jesus Christ with a new life here. A life to be lived on earth in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. You have the very Spirit of God living in you to walk with you in a life destined to be lived for eternity in heaven beyond that. Mankind is continually looking for salvation, at least of one kind or another. Maybe it's economic salvation to help them out from their money woes. Maybe it's political or social salvation because they want to reorganize society and get it the way it should be. Many people look for an inner salvation to cover the consequences of their actions, the guilt, the frustration, the unhappiness that makes them miserable on the inside. Some think that if they just are really good, if they become rigid and legalistic as far as the rules, that that will work. And of course, we've always heard a lot of people, well, I'm good. I mean, I do nice things for others. I was reading on Facebook a while back, saying, well, I don't go to church, but I help other people. Going to church isn't important. Well, I guess you could say, going to church does not bring you into saving grace. That is true. But going to church sure helps the walk. You see, no matter how hard we can try, no matter how much effort we can put into it, we could never be good enough. Mother Teresa can't be good enough. You name a person. They can't be good enough on their own. It is impossible. And I'm sure Paul came to realize that himself. We are born with a sin nature. We inherit from that original sin that Adam and Eve did. The only ones who will be saved are those who have faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Those who have realized they're sinners and are in desperate need of a Savior and follow the call of God when the Holy Spirit calls you to come to Him and recognize Him as Lord. If you refuse that, that is the one unforgivable sin. People talk about an unforgivable sin. That is it. We can be confident that through faith in Jesus Christ and His righteousness, we can stand before a holy God with a standing that makes us eternally protected, a standing that gives us relationship immediately with a very real and caring God. I am thankful for the Apostle Paul. He shows us, through his example, a God who cares, A God who cares, definitely not just for the church in Rome, but a God who cares for a little church in Northwest Iowa. We've seen it in his heart, a heart of concern. He really cares about us individually and wants us in relationship with him. A heart of affection and nurture. God loves us and wants us to grow and draw closer to him through his word. A heart of real encouragement. God knows we need to be lifted up often. And he wants us to find our purpose in him. A God who wants to give us eternal perspective and obedience. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power. It is the good news. Paul wasn't talking about a shame-based thing here. He was talking about his excitement for the power of the gospel. And finally, we see God in a heart of solid faithfulness. Even when we are not faithful, he is always faithful. Yes, Paul is a good model to follow. Not because he's a type A personality, not because he's larger than life, but because he followed the greatest model that ever lived on this earth, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the best and the only perfect model to be followed. We should look to do it with everything we have. We should look to do it with a heart of our Lord and look to duplicate that care he has to others in their eternal needs. Because we want to remember, God cares. Let me pray. Lord, as I think about these words of Paul, I realize how imperfect I am, how many mistakes I make, how I say the wrong things, how I'm not a type A personality like Paul. I'm probably not larger than life when I'm in a room with people. But you made us all uniquely. You made us all with special gifts. You surrounded with people that help complete us. And so is the body of Christ. It is created for your purposes here on earth. Lord, if someone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I would ask that they would take a step your direction. They would take a step your direction and strive to know you fully. Maybe for the first time, maybe just to rededicate their efforts, Lord, be with them. Give them the person around them that they can talk to and verbalize that. And for us who have been Christians for maybe many years, help us find that fresh fire in our hearts. Help us understand the power that Paul talked about. He's not ashamed of it because that power is so powerful. Your spirit inside of us is so powerful, it's hard for us to even imagine the creator of everything talking with us daily. Thank you for your words in Scripture. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for your care. In Jesus' name, amen.